Welcome to Paranormal Almanac with your host, Kurt Sandvik. Howdy, hi. That's right. Welcome to another edition of Paranormal Almanac. I'm your host, Kurt Sandvig. It's been a little bit. It's been a couple of weeks. On this week's edition, more aquatic cryptids, I guess you would say. Look, I have no idea what part number I'm up to. So let's just say more aquatic cryptids part 8.5. Sure, why not? I don't know. I've done other aquatic cryptid episodes, but this isn't them. This is a new one, is what I'm saying. So we got something new here for you. But first, as always, we got something old here for you. We got shout-outs. That's right, shout-outs going out to the patrons. Head on over to patreon.com/paranormalalmanac. That's the best way to support this show. If you think, well, I'm listening to it on Spotify, Kurt's making millions from Spotify. No, I'm not. If you think, well, I heard an ad, so, like, there's something, you know, Kurt wasn't talking in the ad, but someone was, and they were telling me about, I don't know, underwear? I don't know what the ads are, but you must be thinking, well, Kurt must be making at least, like, $10,000 per ad. Every time I hear an ad, Kurt gets 10 grand. No, I do not. I get, I get 0.04, so that's 4 cents for every 1,000 per episode, per week. So it has to happen like the first play, you know, the first week it airs, and then it has to be 1,000, and then I get 4 cents for, so if you listen to it, if you say, well, I don't want to be a patron, but what I will do is I'll listen to every episode 4,000 times, then yeah, you got me, you know, in the first week, then yeah, you got me 12 cents. So I appreciate it. I appreciate all of you, but mostly I appreciate the patrons for making this show as good as it can be, or better than it was, I guess is the better way of saying it, because I can't do it without the patrons. So shout-outs going out to Ookie Wee Bird. I have a feeling that's backwards, like Ookie Wee Bird. Doesn't sound like I'm saying something backwards. I'll have to play it in backwards and see what I'm saying. Matt Lord, JT, Doogie Whore, Mike G, Tracy, Belanger, Ryden, Brenda, Richard, Logan, Lori, Alec, Karen, Duran, Lori, Rebecca, and Stephen Scher. Hey, howdy, hi. Jane Ann, Jennifer, Heather G, your friendly neighborhood skinwalker, Zuzus, what's it? Nico Sharon the Mouse. Hey, howdy, hi to you as well. Hope you're both doing great. Hope all of you are doing great. Mark and Tina, Tortuga, Mike from Jersey. Hey, howdy, hi. Jay Bizzle, Andy, Tracy. That's right, Tracy Simonic. She's hanging out with my favorite band tonight. They Might Be Giants, so hopefully she's having a great time with them. Virginia Mailman, Tony the Magician, Jason, Vicky, Crow, Libido Works, Glacier Mane, Isabel, Jen, Stacy, Amber, Tracy, Kelly Joe, Menace the Beast, Sandy, Paige, Kausch, Bentman, 666, Scott, come here, Rum, come up, Andrea, Melody, Vanessa, Marisol, Liam, Roger, Becca, Jake, Charlotte, and the Beasties, Elizabeth, Sherry, Art Muffin, Tim. Hey, Tim, how you doing, buddy? Kenneth, Ricky, Ricardo, Alexandra, George, Zozo the Demon, Hayden, Cindy, Ashley, Carrie, Robin, Will, Lauren Magano, Russell, Isabel, Audra, Dorian, Cindy, Paula, Jerry, Jeff T, Joe, Lawrence, the Lauren Strong. She just had a birthday. Everybody wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday to the Lauren Strong. Veronica, Autumn, J. Mark, Carolyn, Jade, Nanashi, Todd, Jamie, and Elijah Hendrickson. I saw 2/3 of them just the past weekend. Dan, Laura Pitts, and the one and the only, the infamous, the awesome gamer fan. The longest running Patreon member, gamer fan. Cannot thank him enough. With two special shout-outs, as always. Special shout-out to Joe Teague. This week's the anniversary of his passing, so that's always tough. And then another special shout-out to Stitch, who, you know, is my boy. I will always love and always miss him. All righty. Look, sorry this episode took a while to get released, but the day job's been crazy. Then I had a couple of birthday parties to go to. So honestly, I just didn't have time over the weekend like I was hoping for. I had this all ready, the outline all ready to go, and I literally did not have time to record it, to sit down for the 2 hours that it takes, or more, depending on how long the episode is. The 2 hours that it takes to do the episode. Now, you might be thinking like, well, that's crap, Kurt. The episode's only 55 minutes long. Yeah, well, there's stuff I got to do. You know, it's just, you know, I can't just do that voice the whole day. There's things I got to do. You know, it's I'm running a professional thing here, even though while I'm saying this, I'm tightening up the microphone stand because I forgot to do it a minute ago. Look, what I'm saying is it took me a while to do it, but whenever it takes me a whoops, what happened there? There we go. Whenever it takes me a while to do an episode, and my setup is slightly different. I gotta move stuff. Hold on a second. It's slightly better. Whenever it takes me a little while to do something, you know, it stacks up the paranormal news. So I'm letting you know right now, because it took me so long to get this one out to you, I added more and more and more until I had a supersized paranormal news. So heads up, if you hate paranormal news, first, why? It's not, it's good. It's informative. It's paranormal. And I know some people are like, it took her 25 minutes to get to the more aquatic cryptids. Yeah, but I'm talking about paranormal stuff. Like, there's a lot packed into these things, baby. But second, this is going to be a long paranormal news, so you've been warned. Don't fast forward. There's a lot of cool stuff. I'll be honest. There's a lot of cool stuff in this paranormal news. But let's get right into the paranormal news. Strange things happen every day. Keep a watch out and be on your way. That's just the way the universe moves. But now it's time for that's right, a supersized paranormal news. Thank you, Buzz. It's going to be a supersized one. The first one up is a glowing UFO spotted across several states with several witnesses reporting similar stories. Now, this one just came out. A glowing UFO was spotted across several states with several witnesses reporting similar stories from earlier this month. Across the southwest of the U.S., people in California, hey, that's me, although I didn't see it, Arizona, Utah, and Nevada were reported as seeing a UFO in the night sky around 9 p.m. local on May 2nd, so just like a week ago. This is one of the many apparent UFOs reported in the U.S. recently, though the mass majority of them end up being something explainable, but not this one. According to a bunch of different sites, really, several different witnesses describe the UFO as appearing out of nowhere without a sound and disappearing into thin air. They say, we live by an airport, not in an airport. This was not an airplane, a planet, a star, a comet, a fireball, a drone, a satellite, or a rocket, a witness in Oroville, California said. We are familiar with them, as we're used to the rocket launches and what they look like. This appeared out of nowhere and disappeared into thin air. Now, another witness said, we've watched this video 100 times and can't explain it. While it remains to be seen what comes out from this incident, many will be interested by the fact that several different people across the country saw the same thing. Now, while I've been saying this slowly and slowly, slower and slower, I've been trying to find the damn video and I can't. So let me see if I can get another. There's a bunch of news sources reporting this. So let me see if I can... I can't find the video right now. I will find this video, and when I do, I'll probably put it on another paranormal news. But there might be, because there's a bunch of different ones, there might be more than one article about it, so let's hope that that's the case. UFO, the next story in paranormal news, UFO filmed in the sky, and witnesses they say they have a proof it's not a plane. Apparent UFO was filmed in the sky. All right, so that seems to link right there. It's not a plane. While the average object can be seen flying in the sky is normally a plane, no matter what it looks like, Jennifer Dunstan and her cousin Denver from Sheffield said they can prove that it wasn't a plane. Alrighty, so, no, that does not take me to the video. Ah, here's the video. There we go.
What time is it, Denny?
7 minutes past 6.
So 7 minutes past 6, above Arbor Thorn. Oh, it's coming out there on the left.
That looks like a plane. Still looks like a plane. It's near Sheffield, South Yorkshire.
Mysterious object.
Yeah.
Can you say anything on the plane app?
Oh, they're basing it by the plane app? I'm sorry. Look, I get what they're doing, and I get why they think, well, it's not a plane. It's not on the plane app. There are a lot of planes that are not listed publicly on the plane app, including government planes and some celebrity planes. Not all of them, obviously, not like Elon Musk's private jet, but I'm saying like, you know, rented planes and stuff like that. So if that's what they're basing it on, I don't know. It does look to me, though, like a plane. So because of that, and I can't find the video for the first one, I'm going to keep on moving on. I'm going to push through because we got a supersized paranormal news. This one bummed me out. This was something that I really wanted to visit. I really, really wanted to visit. And unfortunately, kind of like the Georgia Guidestones, I really wanted to visit them. They're gone and I can't do it. The UFO Welcome Center in Bowman, South Carolina, burnt to the ground. This is terrible news. The famed UFO Welcome Center in Bowman, one of South Carolina's oddest tourist attractions, has burned to the ground. A fire took down the hulking structure in the early morning of May 9th. It just happened today. Crews from several area departments battled to save the center, but to no avail. All that left were smoldering ruins of wood and metal. Jody Pendarvis, who built the UFO Welcome Center in his background, said he doesn't know what started the fire, and he's not hopeful officials will figure out how it started. It's a total loss, he said, including the trailer he lives in. Oh, that is terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe another UFO came by and set the fire, he said jokingly as he ate breakfast. The fire began at 6:30 this morning. He doesn't suspect foul play, but marveled at the ferocity of the blaze. I can't believe it went up so quickly. It's a bummer. It was a cool-looking UFO center. It was the UFO Welcome Center in South Carolina. I really wanted to see it, but hopefully, like they'll do a GoFundMe or something. If they do, I'll find it and I'll post about it and, you know, pitch him a dollar. Give him something, and hopefully he can rebuild and get himself a new trailer to live in. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news: mysterious spiral UFO sightings reported across the U.S. and Europe. Social media users have reported mysterious spiral UFO sightings across the United States and Europe this week, with one eyewitness saying they saw an object in the night sky that was emitting some kind of haze. Wouldn't that be emitting, not omitting some kind of haze? Sightings were reported in Ukraine and Finland, as well as in cities in Arizona and California. Here we go. There's a UFO sighting in Santa Barbara. Clear skies. You can even see the stars in the video, but the light was omitting some sort of haze. You're trying to say the word emitting, people. Stop with the omitting. But let me play it. Let me see what he says. Let me see what it looks like. All right. It looks like Starlink. Oh, not Starlink. It looks like a rocket launch. It's not omitting anything, I can tell you that. It looks to me like a rocket launch. This was May 2nd at 9:18 p.m. I bet money, if you guys look it up, on May 2nd, there was some kind of rocket launch. They said, please, someone tell me this isn't a UFO. Completely clear skies, and I see a super blurry white light, no flashes like a plane, coming straight at me horizontally. It then goes up and freaking disappears. All right, well, I want to see that. So there's a second video, so let me see that. If it does that, then it's not going to be a rocket launch. Not seeing that. It's like over his house. It's a white light. It's emitting a haze, but that's just because it's probably cloudy in the sky or foggy. It's got 15 more seconds. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll watch all 14 more seconds of it. Hi, Rum. How you doing, my beautiful girl? I love you very much. Yes, I'm watching this video. Yes, I am. Hi, beautiful. It's 5 seconds left. Still sitting in the sky. 0 seconds. I watched the whole thing. Okay, with the fog and everything, it could be literally anything. It could be a helicopter, a plane, the moon. Sorry. That one, nope, I'm moving on. I say nay to that UFO. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news. Authorities raid UFO museum, seize supposed alien mummy's foot and other artifacts. Now, it seems like I talked about this, but I couldn't find it, so I'm going to talk about it again. A mysterious mummy's foot, supposedly belonging to an alien, was recently discovered and seized by authorities during a raid on a UFO museum. The raid of the UFO museum in Argentina coincides with journalist and ufologist Jaime Mausson's ongoing claims that he discovered 2 3-fingered non-human alien corpses in the city of Cusco, Peru. In case you don't know what that's talking about, it's those fake bullshit aliens that are 100% not alien at all, and they're like chicken bones and shit like that. So if that's the one that was stolen, guess what? You're not missing anything. And it was probably someone going like, give me this fucking thing. I'll take it and get it tested by an independent person and prove that it's not. Up next in paranormal news, Nessie uncovered. Joe Swash claims to have spotted the Loch Ness Monster, not a monster, in Holiday Snap with Stacy Solomon. I have no idea who a Joe Swash or a Stacy Solomon is. But plus, watch the hilarious video further down the article as Stacy catches Joe in a whopping lie. I'm not going to watch that. The ex-EastEnders star, 42, and his wife, Stacy Solomon, enjoyed a getaway in their new camper van earlier this year. Yeah, all right, skip ahead. I don't need all of this. I don't care what their kids' names are. Let's see. Reminiscing on our trip to Scotland and what a time takes us back to our Nessie hunting adventures, and then shared a snap of what appears to be the Loch Ness Monster with a sea creature bobbing along in the background. Would you like me? Can I see the damn photo? Can you show me anything that doesn't look like two people that I don't understand who they are standing there? I mean, come on, really? Nope. No photo, so I don't care who the people are, and I didn't see Nessie. Now, you might be saying, Kurt, why don't you peruse these first? Well, because I want it to be fresh. If it's a video, I want to see it for the first time. If it's a photo, I want to see it for the first time. Sometimes it does like that, where I just don't believe it. But you know what? Keep on keeping on. Up next in paranormal news, hump-like objects spotted on camera during live stream are Nessie, says expert. That's right. Nessie's been spotted again. 2 hump-like objects breaking the surface of the water, remaining there for more than 2 minutes by good old... Oops. Nope, that's the wrong one. Hold on. I need that one. Good old Alan O'Fanigan. Yeah, buddy. He did it again. And the video is fantastic. And I completely believe it. You got to check it out. He's got his own YouTube channel. I highly recommend checking it out. Nope, no free commercials from you, YouTube. What? Stop it. I don't want to. There we go. So his YouTube channel is Owen O'Fanigan. That's EOINOFAOHAGAIN. You gotta check out his videos. He's the best. He's my resident, not resident, but you know, like the Nessie expert of Paranormal Almanac, whether he likes it or not. He's absolutely fantastic. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news, Bigfoot, in huge air quotes, roaming on school grounds leads to facility closing, causing concern and disruption. Look, I get it. It'd be funny to dress up like Bigfoot and walk by a school to scare some school kids and get put on a video, but it's not funny. It's not cool. You caused some huge disturbances to the poor kids and the schools, and you could have got yourself shot because most schools in the United States now, they have an armed guard, so you're lucky you weren't shot. The Firelands Local School District in Ohio was locked down earlier this month after an apparent Bigfoot was seen roaming around the campus. It was a guy in a costume trying to be funny. He's a jackass, and please don't do that. Don't fucking shoot that Bigfoot either, but you'd have more reason to shoot that Bigfoot is what I'm saying, but don't shoot him. Up next in paranormal news, filmmaker believes Bigfoot leaves dead carcasses, as warnings after speaking to eyewitnesses. Documentary filmmaker Kelly Lockman, trying to find him online because I really want to interview him, believes that Bigfoot leaves the carcasses of animals it has killed as warnings following the unexplained deaths of a deer and a buzzard in North Carolina. Lockman made this unusual claim in a recently shared portion of a Bigfoot investigation documentary he has been filming titled I Believe in Bigfoot. Now, it's spelled wrong. It says titles, I Believe in Bigfoot, but it's titled, I Believe in Bigfoot. My name is Kelly Lockman, and 2 years ago, I began working on a documentary film about Bigfoot. In the process, my life has taken an unexpected... You know what? Why are you listening to me? Let's see if I can play that. I'd like to give this guy some free press.
My name is Kelly Lockman, and 2 years ago, I began working on a documentary film about Bigfoot. In the process, my life has taken an unexpected turn. The things that I've seen, experienced, and documented have changed me forever. I don't know that I'll ever put my camera down on this subject, but I do know it's time to start telling some of these stories.
I believe in Bigfoot. I added that, don't worry. Chapter 1, streaming 4/22/24 to YouTube and to Rumble. So that's cool. I'll definitely be watching that. But yeah, he goes on to say, I think this one was a warning to us. There was no blood. I've recorded witness testimony describing a very similar scene. And maybe that they just drink the blood. He says, he speaks to a couple named Stephen and Carolyn Allen who thinks that Bigfoot killed their dog. Oh, I don't like that. Because their necks were also snapped. Don't like that at all. She also claimed that the pen she kept the dogs in was not damaged at all. I don't know how something would have gotten in there because it was a tall pen. I'd say at least 8-foot fence. Every time Larry would build a fence was at least 7 to 8 feet. I mean, he built many of them, and this one was built before I even came around, but he built many after that, and they were always a real tall fence. Pretty much, yeah. It's like, it's terrible news about poor dogs. But it seems like this Bigfoot killed their dogs and other animals, possibly as a warning. That doesn't seem like a warning to me. It seems like he was trying to keep them quiet. But anyhow, what do I know? I'm not a Bigfoot expert. I just run a podcast. Up next in paranormal news, two eyewitnesses recall encountering Bigfoot at close range in an Oregon forest. It's a lot of Bigfoot and UFO in this one. I like it. In this paranormal news, that is. It comes as little surprise that states in America have the most forest also have the most run-ins with Bigfoot. According to the BFRO, which has recorded hundreds of sightings of the elusive creature, the states of Washington, Ohio, California, Florida, Illinois, and Oregon are the biggest hotspots in the United States for Bigfoot sightings. One such report, the latest to have been recorded by BFRO, involves two eyewitnesses who were staying in an off-the-grid cabin on a lake in a wooded area north of Coos Bay in the state of Oregon. We had a kitchen light on and one other lamp on in the front room at about 10 p.m. at night on October 3rd, 2019. We heard a noticeable bang on our cabin. She says her husband went outside to investigate but didn't see anything and came back inside the cabin, but a few minutes later, the same bang. This time I turned off the TV and the lights, and he looked out the window and also went into our bedroom, which was on the back side of the house. In the light from the generator shed, he saw a huge figure that began to move towards the light of the generator shed window, where my husband could see the creature extremely well. Stunned by what he was looking at, her husband called her to come see what he had found. I took one look at it and scared me so badly I ran into the other room. I knew right away this was a Sasquatch. She described the Bigfoot as having a flat face with a prominent brow, covered in reddish-brown hair all over its body, block-type teeth and lips with a flat-type nose. Hi, Rum, how are you? Talking about Bigfoots. Yeah, you're a good girl. It walked upright and swung its arms to the side as it moved. The look on its face, thank you. Hi, Rum. Yes, you're a very good girl. I love you so much. The look on its face was a look of curiosity and had intelligence to it. It did not seem aggressive, but we did not approach it or threaten it. After about 2 minutes, it moved into the woods. The next morning, after fleeing the cabin following the Bigfoot sighting, they returned and determined the creature had been at least 8.5 feet tall. BFRO investigator Matthew Moneymaker, that's a great name, he said they're both very credible, respectable, retired people from Oregon. The incident happened at their off-grid lakefront cabin, built entirely by the husband who worked as a chief millwright at a lumber mill for 30 years. They were so shaken by this instance that they sold the cabin, and not long after, oh, that's a bummer. He also discovered the couple did actually go back to the cabin briefly later that night with two sheriff's deputies and found the pathway in the grass where the figure walked away in the woods. Rum, it's okay. Rum, it's okay. The deputy did not try to persuade the retired couple that they had merely seen was a common animal like a bear. When the couple asked the deputies if they had ever received calls like this from around that area, the deputies looked at each other and said, yep, a few times. They got Bigfoot by that cabin. I want that cabin. Man, I got to win the lotto so I can buy random weird cabins like that and see Bigfoot. I'll make them food. I don't care. Up next in paranormal news, the most democratic of the haunted places. Pennsylvania's Mystery Mile. That's right. You live in Pennsylvania, and I know a lot of you do. Head on over to Mystery Mile because they said they're the most democratic of the haunted places. That's right. You don't need... Well, what the hell? There we go. It popped off for a second. You don't need a special permission to be there. You can go to... You can go to a road as long as you're not doing anything disruptive, as long as it's not a private road. And where Miracle Mile is, Mystery Mile is, it's not private. So go there. If you want to experience the paranormal, it's one of the best places in Pennsylvania to do it. Pennsylvania's Mystery Mile. Keep it on. I got to keep moving on here. Up next in paranormal news, she's back! TikToker's haunted doll back with her after creepy occurrence. After going viral for sharing a scary situation she had with some old dolls, TikToker or whatever, has a creepy update to share. She said that the creator gave one of her haunted dolls to someone who didn't believe it was haunted, but later found out something wasn't right. And now after a terrifying situation, the haunted doll is back at her home and not by her choice. Let's see, a creepy update shared by the owner of the haunted dolls says that you can see the doll moving. Okay, I need to find this TikTok now. She shared her update about the doll as she was driving the doll back to her home. The doll's back with us, not the one that was stolen, but the one that was managed that we managed to wash our hands with of by giving it away. I had to drive 20 minutes away and come and pick up this damn doll, and I never ever wanted to put this doll in my car ever. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do any of it. All right, let me watch this video.
The doll is back with us.
All right, supposedly the doll moves.
But the one that we managed to wash our hands of by giving away.
Yeah, the doll moving.
I had to drive
very clearly
20 minutes away and come pick up this damn doll.
Shut up,
shut up.
Yeah, the doll is clearly moving.
Ever. The only time it's ever been in my car is when I picked it up for the very first time. It has not been in my car since because I knew something was wrong with it. Okay, but now I have it in my car because we give it away to family, and they didn't believe us about everything I showed them. They're skeptics, okay? They didn't believe us. So they took the doll and give it to their granddaughter.
Okay.
Now, they didn't tell the little girl anything about the ghost or anything. They didn't want to scare her. They just wanted to give her a doll.
I mean,
understandable.
Sure, understandable.
But knowing what they know, that's insane to me. But if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. Whatever. So we give them the doll. They give the doll.
The doll's moving, but so is the car. She's driving while she's talking.
Two or three days, and the little girl tells her grandpa that the doll is alive. Something's wrong with it. That it moves. It keeps falling out of the chair. Or she said it was jumping out of the chair, but evidently it was just falling out of the chair.
All right.
It would not stay sitting where she put it. She said it would turn
look,
its head.
There's,
look,
it's not
her,
it's
it
not buckled into
her,
the seat, and it's staying put there.
Out. Okay, so she gives it to her grandpa. Her grandpa takes the doll and puts it in his room. So the little girl's not scared anymore. I guess that's where he was going to leave the doll. But then the doll starts touching, not the doll, but something starts touching him. He said something tapped on his shoulder, and there was no one there. And I guess that was enough.
How long is
this
fucking video?
Okay. Believe it or not, he's done. Whether he believes...
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. You can find this. Apparently, it's very popular on TikTok right now. The doll is moving in the video. But again, the doll is sitting unbuckled. That's not safe. You got to buckle up that doll. Unbuckled in the passenger seat in a moving car that's hitting a lot of bumps. So, of course, it's moving. Look, send the doll to me. Easily, I will gladly take that doll, and I'll let you know 100%, is that doll moving? Is that doll, haunted or, creepy or scary? I won't give it to my grandpa. I don't have one. He passed away. So, they both passed away. So, guess what? Give me the doll. I will gladly have it right there on display behind me, and you guys can say, on a live video, hey, Kurt, that doll that's behind you, yeah, it's trying to kill you. And then I'll deal with that. Alrighty, up next in paranormal news, 11 haunted objects in filmed ranked by how dumb you'd have to be to mess with them. Sure, they're not really paranormal, but I like the idea of how dumb do you have to be to mess with something. First one up is Drag Me to Hell, The Button Curse. If someone you knew told you that they found a really swell button and thought you should have it, the polite thing to do would be just accept the unusual gift. What is this fucking button? I don't know what this button is. I've never seen this movie. Number 9 is the Drag Me to Hell button. I have no idea what that is. They better get a lot better than that, though. Number 8, the mirror's victim scene from Oculus. I haven't seen either of these movies. Let's keep moving until I find one. Ah, there we go. Number 7, Deathbed, the bed that eats people. Yeah, don't accept a deathbed. You got to be dumb to accept a deathbed. It's called a freaking deathbed. Ooh, this next one I kind of want. What is it? Number six? Number five? Whatever it is. Christine, the car. Yeah, it's a cool little car, though. It's Plymouth. Come on. You got to keep that. Got to accept that. Up next is the Ouija board. The Ouija, Olivia Cook horror movie, Ouija board, Ouija board. Nah, I'd take a Ouija board. I'm not afraid of that. That's dumb. Up next, the tarot cards from the movie Tarot. I'm fine with that. I've already lost my tarot cards numerous times. Ah, this is a good one. Up next, the movie clip from The Ring, you know, where Samara comes out to you. Yeah, you can easily not watch that and get rid of that. Plus, I don't even have a VCR anymore. So I think I'm fine with that one. Up next is the 1408, The Room. Oh, you have to go to The Room 1408 with Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, just don't go. It's pretty easy to not die. Just don't go. Up next, yep, The Box from Hellraiser. Yeah, exactly. Look, you don't have to open it. You don't have to be all weird. I don't want to kink shame anybody, but just don't do it. And the next one is the spirit from Talk to Me. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You don't have to put your hand on the hand from Talk to Me. That's a good movie if you haven't seen that one. And then finally, the Necronomicon from The Evil Dead. Yeah, look, you mess with the Necronomicon, it's got skin. It's got human skin made out of it. So obviously, you mess with it, you get with it. You get what you deserve. Yeah, I liked it. Not as good as I was hoping that list would be, but still pretty good. All right, this next one, I know we're running late. Doesn't matter. This next one is not really paranormal, but it's too cool not to share. So apparently, not apparently, I can see the photos. It's real. I'm looking right at it. There is a Disney cruise ship called the Disney Treasure. It's the newest Disney cruise ship launched by the company. And the Treasure is scheduled to take its maiden voyage to the Caribbean in late December. If you go on there, oh, and trust me, you're going to want to go on there. The bar, one of the bars on the cruise ship, is the Haunted Mansion. Like, hitchhiking ghosts in the mirror behind the bar. Like, everything you want from the Haunted Mansion is in this bar on a Disney ship going to the Caribbean. It's called the Haunted Mansion Parlor. It'll feature a mythology that draws from the classic Disneyland attraction, including some history for the super fans, and adds a few nautical twists. The room is made to look like the well-appointed ship parlor of a jovial sea captain and his strange fiancée. It's hard to say what happens to the happy couple following their sudden and mysterious disappearances, but our most discerning guests may glean the truth by deciphering clues hidden around the bar. How cool is that? You can get drunk, you can look at clues, you can get a bunch of really phenomenal photos of this awesome-looking bar. It's insanely cool. I don't know if I'm ever going to get a chance to go in this bar, but boy, howdy, do I want to go on this bar. It is seriously well done. You might want to look it up. You can go to Disney Parks on Instagram. They've got photos or renderings of the bar. It's absolutely fantastic. And I've been on a Disney cruise ship. I'll be honest. I've been on a Disney cruise ship and it was phenomenal. I mean, there are parts of it where I'm like, boy, I wish I could get away from some kids right now. Too many kids. But you can get away from the kids. You can have a blast on this place. Plus, you can go to a Haunted Mansion. It's a bar. Kids shouldn't be in the bar. Just go there. There shouldn't be any kids. Just spend the entire cruise in a Haunted Mansion bar. And then, you know, obviously, go see the islands and shit in the Caribbean. But yeah, sounds good to me. All right, finally in paranormal news, you remember that Las Vegas alien video? Well, they said that the video's previously missed details prove authenticity, and you can't deny it, is what they're saying. Scott Roeder of Evidence Room Animations and Exhibits used his expertise and motion tracking software to analyze the video of a purported UFO crash landing in Vegas in April of 2023. He told some website they tried to debunk the responding officer's body cam footage or prove something was added to the video, but he says you can't. All of our results came back as authentic. There's no editing. This is an original video. He told the, let's see, well, you all know that, you all know what the video is. Go back and watch the video, knowing now that video experts, authenticity experts are saying, that's real. That's real. All righty. I told you it was going to be a long one. That's it for paranormal news. I had a couple more stories, but that's okay. We're doing well. We don't need a billion more stories. So instead, head on over to tpublic.com/stores/paranormal-almanac. That's tpublic.com/stores/paranormal-almanac. And if you think, I can't remember that, it's actually in the description of every one of the episodes I've been releasing. And you can go to the Facebook fan page, which is a phenomenal group of awesome, cool people. There's a lot of new people in there. I'm having so much fun in that group. I don't have enough time lately, but trust me, I'm going to get back into that group. It's lightning. My load is lightening up a little bit so I can actually get back in the group and have some fun. But great group of people. I always put the links to the new shirts, and there is a ton of new merch. I mean, an absolute ton of new merch. Before I knew I was getting really busy, so I wanted to throw in like 5 or 6 new styles before it got really busy. So if you've looked there and you've said, well, there's nothing I really wanted, or I've got all the shirts. Well, no, you don't, because there's a bunch of new ones. All righty. Before we go on break, I have to tell you about something that happened last night. I was lucky enough to be invited to the Doctor Who U.S. premiere by my buddy Aaron, and it was as amazing as I wanted. It was absolutely phenomenal. There's the blue carpet instead of the red carpet. There was a TARDIS on the blue carpet. Shuti Gatwa was there. Russell T. Davis was there. Davies was there. Russell T. Davies is amazing, as was Shuti, I got to admit. It was fantastic. And we got to see the first episode of the new season of Doctor Who, where he goes back in time and interacts with the Beatles. Just interacts with the Beatles, and it was fantastic. At first, I was a little bit angry because the Beatles don't really look like the Beatles, obviously. But they didn't even get someone who kind of remotely looked like Paul or John. And John was wearing his round glasses that he didn't wear until the end of his Beatle days, not the very, very beginning. But I understand that they wanted you to be able to visually say, oh, I get it, that's supposed to be Paul. Oh, I get it, that's supposed to be John. So they added the glasses so you could do that. It was a minute of, well, that kind of bums me out. And then the episode was so flipping good. I absolutely love Doctor Who anyway, and I think Shuti's just going to crush it. He was so fantastic. Like I said, I got to meet both Russell T. Davies and Shuti, and they were as nice as you can imagine and just the sweetest guys. Amazing rooftop after party with another TARDIS and... there was projections on the wall. It was incredible. I'm so excited to see what Shuti and Russell T. Davies bring to the new Doctor. I've loved every Doctor. I think that Jodie Whittaker, she got a raw deal. I loved her as the Doctor, and I think that I'm going to love Shuti as the Doctor. Before I get to the quick break, if you're in Burbank, California, please do me a favor. Speaking of TARDISes, they got one right there. Head on over to Geeky Tees and Games. Check out their new, incredible... They're not paying me to say this. This is just me telling you. They've got an amazing new location that is absolutely incredible. If you come to Burbank, that's the place you need to go and check out. You know, let me know when you're going to come to Burbank, and we'll go to, like, Bigfoot Lodge and do, like, a meet and greet and hang out and have all kinds of fun. Or maybe I'll just meet you over at Geeky Tees. You can say, hey, I'll be there, you know, in 2 weeks' time on Saturday at noon. Yep, I'll be there. It's incredible. There's so many favorites to this location, but the seance room and the pirate ship room and the, I could keep going on. It's phenomenal. What they did over there is absolutely incredible. You can get any kind of board game or RPG game or MMORPG game. Like, you can do anything you want, any kind of game you can think of, you can get there. You can buy dice there. You can buy teas there. You can buy English treats there. You can get your photo with the freaking TARDIS. An absolutely perfect replica of the TARDIS right there. And it's just an incredible group of people. I highly recommend it. Even if you don't play, if you're like, well, I don't give a crap about Dungeons & Dragons, trust me, go to this place. It's beautiful. I can't wait to play D&D in the seance room or the Dracula's castle or whatever room they have there. It's going to be absolutely incredible. All right, let's take a quick break, and then let's get to some aquatic cryptids. We are back. And look, I know that I've talked about Nessie a lot, because I absolutely love Nessie, and, you know, Nessie deserves every shout-out that Nessie gets. Not a monster, people. And I know I did an episode about other Nessies, but it's been a while, and there are so many more lake and sea creatures out there So I wanted to do another episode devoted to these not monsters. That's right, not monsters. Listen, while you're listening to this episode, count all the time that people are killed by these monsters, quote unquote. They have collectively killed to see if they're truly the monsters that people make them out to be. Like, what is the most monstrous thing that Nessie's ever done? Walked by a priest once? Was supposedly near Aleister Crowley? Popped her head out of the water? Ooh, scary. Look, I can see why she's the monster of Loch Ness. Every time you see them, like, you think about every sighting in the past 2 years. It's been an amazing animal coming out of the water, go, oh, that's cool, and then going right back in the water, minding her own business. She's never ripping children in half or plucking children from, like, the tourist boats, there's no monster. She's not doing anything monstrous. When people go to, say, like, whale watching, they go, oh, look at the pretty whales. They never go, oh, my God, this boat's surrounded by monsters. And if you do, don't go on a whale watching. What did you expect to happen? All right, look, just know that I'm thinking, not a monster, every time they're named, you know, insert lake name monster. I won't be saying it every time. If that's what you're afraid of, if you're like, oh, God, if I hear Kurt go, not a monster, every time they name the next monster, you don't have to worry about it. I'll say it a couple of times. Don't worry. But what's the first not a monster, there you go, on this edition? Well, first up is a really quick one with only one recorded sighting and a shit ton of legend. I'll tell you, tons of legend, but only one sighting. For this, we go to Varberg Fortress, which was built in 1287 to 1300 by Count Jakob Nielsen as a protection against Eric VI of Denmark. Look, lots of stuff happened. It was destroyed. It was rebuilt. There were battles, blah, blah, blah. But why am I talking about a fortress when I said it was going to be aquatic monsters or aquatic cryptids? Well, because this fortress has a moat, and living in that moat is a small, tiny, cute little lake monster. That's right. Like I said, a bunch of legend stuff, but the only sighting I can find is from August of 2006. Now, it's supposedly, like, people have been talking about this tiny little moat monster forever, but it wasn't until August of 2006 when a couple of eyewitnesses claimed to have seen the monster emerge from the dark water and devour a duck. The creature is described as brown, furless, with a 40-centimeter long tail. Kurt here, that's 16 inches long. It's a teeny tiny duck-eating monster. My guess, it's a big fish, but who knows? The drawing of it, though, it looks like a teeny tiny little dragon. But here's the thing. How deep can that moat really be? I don't know how deep moats are. Is there like a standard depth of moats? I don't know. Let's see. How deep are moats? Not how deep is your love. There we go. A moat is between 5 and 40 feet deep. All right. I was surprised by the 40 feet. I'll be honest. Castle moats were usually between 5 feet and 40 feet deep, and they were not always filled with water. Not all moats contained water, as a simple dry, wide ditch would prove an obstacle. Were moats filled with sewage? I don't know. Let's find out. Yes. In later periods, moats or water defenses could also act as a sewer. Oh, that must have smelled wonderful. Oh, lovely. All right. So there is a chance there's a big fish in there if it's 40 feet deep. But if it's only 5 feet deep, you got a big goldfish is what you got. You got a goldfish that just ate a duck, and that's cool, and I'm glad you two saw that, but not really lake monster enough for me. So, I don't know. Let's move on. That's what I'm saying. Let's go to the next one. This one, I'm going to need a pronunciation for it before I begin, because even if I looked it up prior, I would forget in probably about 3 seconds. So let's see how you pronounce this. How do you pronounce it? Come on, baby. Let's do this. Say it.
Storsjöjuret.
Whoa, for fuck, what?
Storsjöjuret.
Stutjudret. Nope, hold on.
Storsjöjuret.
Stutjudret. Look, it's spelled Stors Jude Juret, but it's pronounced
Storsjöjuret.
Nope, never going to get that one right. So that thing is also commonly known in English as Storsi. That I can say. So I'm going to say Storsi. It's a lake monster. It's said to live in a 90-meter, that's 300 feet deep lake called Storsien. That's where the Storsi and Storsjudet comes from. Now, it's in Jämtland in the middle of Sweden. I'm sure it's Jämtland in the middle of Sweden. Now, it was first written about in a 1635 manuscript written by a minister named Mogens Petersen from Hurdal, who wrote about two trolls named Jata and Kata, who cooked a witch brew at the shore of that lake that I'm not going to say anymore. When they had boiled the brew for so many years, something started to move and quiver in the cauldron, and a big bang was heard. It says, a strange animal with a black worm-like body and cat-like head jumped out of the cauldron and disappeared into the depths of that lake. The animal enjoyed the lake, grew immensely, and caused horror among the people living around the shores. Finally, it had gotten to the point where it was just long enough to reach around the island frozen and could bite itself in the tail. That's right, they cooked up a monster. Now, this sea or lake monster serpent, it's called Sjorm. It was bound magically to the Nitta village and Hillsand, where the tail is buried. That's right. The serpent was called a Ra, and therefore this stone had been raised. Since no one peacefully could cross the creature, the ferryman and his wife states, along with many others, that in his last turbulent time, this stone was torn down and broken in two. As long as this stone lay on the ground, many strange things occurred in the water until the stone was raised and assembled anew. So basically, they got this big stone. It's carved. It's all cool and funky. It broke. The monster went crazy being a monster. Tiny dragon, whatever. So they put it back together. It wasn't a tiny dragon. It's a big, huge fucking thing. And they put it back together, and now they're cool. So later, folk legends circulating locally in Jämtland claim the monster was a product of tinkering by two trolls, and it was a cat-headed creature with a black serpent-like body. Look, it's a way cool story, better start than a tiny dragon in a moat. So let me keep on reading this. So there are 200 documented eyewitness sightings from a total of 500 people. That's right. There are 300 reports that are not written testimony, only oral. So they're kept, but they're saying the documented ones are the ones that the eyewitness wrote down what they saw. So there's 200. So this thing hasn't been seen just once or twice. It's been seen a lot. The 500 accounts are kept at the County Museum Jämtli, or it might be a local library, depending on where you get your info. It's really hard to find. But whatever this building is, there's an interactive research and visitor center that's all about Storsi herself. There are films of eyewitness testimonies. You can draw your own monster, process it through the, quote, monster-making machine, and see your own monster swim off on the wall of the center. Okay, I want to do that. That's cool as hell. That I want to do. The museum says, it is a strong experience to meet the beast, an experience which you'll never forget. Well, yeah. I seriously doubt there's anybody that's seen a lake monster that went, no, I've never seen it. Wait, no, yeah, I did. I forgot. I did see a lake monster. That's right. I was thinking I'd never seen Nessie, but no, I have. Yeah, I've seen Nessie up close. It was pretty scary. Yeah, forgot all about it. Yeah. Come on, of course you're going to remember it. It's a lake freaking monster. Some say that the monster, not a monster, ooh, there's another one, is 33 feet in length, or the monster has humps on its back and a long pointed tail, or it has a dog's head and a serpent body that is dark brown or gray, or it's green and has white dots and that it lays eggs every year, or From newspapers reporting in July of 1857, that's right, I'm going that far back, that workers at the local iron mill on the lake spotted from far away a creature with a head, quote, black and gleaming, about the size of a large cat's head. So it seems to tie in with the cat legend part of this whole thing, where they cooked up a thing and had a cat's head. Or Peter Olson published a booklet in 1899 documenting 22 eyewitness testimonies and collated the details in a summary. Olson, a naturalist, concluded that the most likely match was some aquatic mammal that had yet to be identified. It had a snake-like body, long neck, with some giving the description of a dog-like face to it or head to it. This is from 1899. He published it in 1899. Absolutely incredible that the accounts are well documented, 200 plus, starting back in 1800s. I mean, starting back farther than that, but including ones that for like the newspapers from the 1800s. Now, some other accounts describe it as being finned with no ears. Some say, no, it had ears, like a dog's ears, like the pointy dog's ears. I didn't see any fins, but I did see the dog's head. Some said it had several humps on its back. There's a lot of variety, but there is one thing that everyone who has seen Storsi has said. This creature is not a monster. That one doesn't count. That's from them. And is very nice. Yeah. So again, nice does not equal monster. In fact, nice is the opposite of monster. Ooh, wait. I want to see what is actually the opposite of monster? Opposite of monster. The opposite of monster is angel. What? The opposite of monster is angel or cherub or seraph. Why would angel be the opposite of monster? Angel's the opposite of devil, right? Okay, let me check that now. What's the opposite of angel? Let me type that. So opposite of monster is angel. So what's the opposite of angel? Fucking yeah, it's devil. Of course it's devil. So what is that? Oh, come on, man. Come on, Merriam-Webster. You're not making any sense. So apparently the opposite of monster is angel, but the opposite of angel is devil. So there's real no opposite. There's no real opposite of monster, I guess. I don't even care. You know what? I'm sorry I went down that path with you. Someone else can deal with that. I'm done going down weird, random paths. Let's get back to Storsi, all right? We all like Storsi. Storsi's nice. After several sightings, an enterprise of locals was founded to catch the monster back in 1894. That's got to be a real, like, pitchfork kind of mob, like, you know, kill the monster, kill the beast, that kind of a thing. They even obtained the sponsorship of King Oscar II, Kurt here, spoiler, they didn't catch him, and the failed attempt was featured in a satirical cartoon at the time by Albert Engstrom in the Strix magazine. Ooh, even back then, you got cartoon burned for failure. You know that people are like, oh, fuck, I made the news, and I'm in a satirical cartoon. You know, damn you, Albert. All right, so let's jump from 1894 all the way up to 1986. Let's see, what was happening in 1986? Let's see what the top movie and song. The top songs were True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. That's What Friends Are For by Dionne Warwick and Friends was the number one song of 1986. Say You, Say Me by Lionel Richie was moving up the charts. I Miss You by Climax and Love Touch from the Legal Eagles. Alrighty, and the top movie of 1986? What was, I don't know, I don't know any of these movies. Gothic, Out of Bounds, Thrashin', The Quest, Heartbreak Ridge, Spookies, Heat, and Lady Jane. What? What is the number one movie of night? There we go. That's much better. That's much better list. Screw that crap from Box Office Mojo. This is a better list. The top number one movie in 1986 was Top Gun, followed by Crocodile Dundee, The Karate Kid Part 2, and back to school. Crocodile Dundee, that's not a knife. See, I should start doing that. That's not a monster. This is a monster. So yeah, it was the 200th anniversary of Storsey, and the town was like, you know what? We got to protect our Storsey. And it was declared to be a protected endangered species, so no fucking shooting Storsey. Let's jump ahead to August of 2008, when a film crew claimed to have captured Storsey on film, reporting that the infrared cameras showed an endothermic mass in the lake. And that, kids, is the story of Storsey. I like that one. I like Storsey. Storsey's nice. Maybe I'll just make a shirt that says that. Storsey's nice. Back off. Not a monster. So let's move on. Let's move on to Charlie. Yeah, that's right. I said Charlie, not Charlie. So Charlie, or Slimy Slim, or the Twilight Dragon of Piatt Lake, is the name or names of the creature living in Piatt Lake near McCall, Idaho. Again, you know what? Way, way better name choices than Charlie is Slimy Slim and the Twilight Dragon of Piatt Lake. The Twilight Dragon of Piatt Lake, it's a little wordy, but Slimy Slim, that sounds like an Old West poker player. That's amazing. But apparently it wants to be known, she wants to be known as Charlie. That's right. Charlie is a girl, according to the residents, without any more info as to why. So I can only assume someone in McCall, Idaho is fuck Charlie. That's the only explanation for them being that adamant that, like, you, Charlie's a girl. Now, the first story of Charlie's came from the Native Americans who spent summers in Long Valley and were said to fear the calm, seemingly bottomless waters of the lake and would tell stories of an evil spirit that lurked in its hidden depths. The first non-Native documented sightings was by a railroad logging crew in 1920. While out cutting railroad ties near the upper end of the lake, workers saw a huge log floating in the frigid water. Then, the log began to move forward. Then, the log began to undulate. Then, the log created its own wake as it rapidly left the area. All right, I get what you're going with, but what you say is, we saw this huge log and then went, oh my God, it's moving and it's swimming. That's not a log. You don't have to keep saying, and then the log did this, and then the log undulated, and then the log's head looked at me, and then the log swam away. I don't know if that was a log or not. Yes, it's not a log. Then, 1944, a group of people near the Narrows saw a creature described as at least 35 feet long with a dinosaur-type head, pronounced jaw, humps like a camel, and a shell-like skin. That one surprised me. Charlie's got a shell. The news caught wind of this sighting, and newspapers around the country wrote about Charlie. And as always, very soon after that, Charlie hunters began showing up to catch, kill, or take a photo of Charlie. That's right. As always, they're like, ooh, there's something new and unusual, possibly the only one of its kind. Well, we gotta go kill that thing. Let's get in the car, honey. We gotta go kill this thing. This harmless thing that some guy near the lake fucked and knows it's a girl. We gotta kill this thing. So an article published in the Times magazine in August of 1944 reported that 30 people had seen the, quote, periscope-shaped head of the creature they called Slimy Slim. Such a better name. Since July 2nd of that year. Then, in 1946, 20 people in a group reported seeing Slimy Slim. Dr. G.A. Taylor of Nampa said that it appeared to be 40 feet long and seemed to keep diving down into the watery depths. He also said that it left a wake like a small motorboat, and the sightings continued from that point on. Jumping ahead to 1954, so many people have reported sightings of Slimy Slim, and so many news reports came out that the residents decided, you know what, it needs a better name. Kurt here, no it didn't. Slimy Slim is an amazing name. So, A. Boone McCallum, editor of the Star News, held a national contest, and the winning entry was submitted by Leslie Hennifer Turry of Springfield, Virginia. In her letter to the Star, she wrote, why don't you call him Charlie? You know, like Vasudhur Charlie? This was a reference to a one-liner used by Jack Pearl in a popular radio show. Well, of course it is. Of course I did not have to Google why the hell she said, you know, like Vasudhur Charlie? I immediately went, oh my God, this kid's quoting that popular Jack Pearl radio show. The hell are you people talking about? All righty, let me try and find that real quick. Vasudhar Jack Pearl. Oh, here we go.
Recording?
No, not recordings. No, no ads. Just Vasudhar. Just stop it. Jack Pearl as Baron von Munchausen from 1933.
Well, that night a storm broke out. Such waves you never saw. The boat was doing somersaults.
Doing what?
Somersaults, you know?
Somersaults.
Well, all of a sudden, the sea quiets down, you see?
Calm.
What is it?
Calm, calm.
Where are we going?
No. The sea became calm, quiet.
Yes, that's what I said. So soon it becomes quiet, oh, we God. Dive down and we bring up 87 tons of sponges mid one dive.
87 tons of sponges?
Yeah.
That's impossible, preposterous. No one could bring up that many sponges in one dive.
No?
No.
Was you there, Charlie?
Oh, he said it. Oh, he said it. He said it right then. Did you hear him? He said, "Was you there, Charlie?" Yeah, all right. That's what it's from. I didn't have to tell you. You guys all knew that that's where it was from. That old chestnut sitting around the radio laughing because some guy with a fake German accent said, "Was you there, Charlie?" All right, so, you know, I use it as a pickup line all the time. You know, I go into the bar, and I'm like, "Ooh, that girl's hot. Was you there, Charlie?" Which probably explains why I'm still single. But anyhow, that's where Charlie got her name. And she seems like a wonderful, not molested by a random resident of the lake, aquatic cryptid. All righty, up next, let's go to Pluck Lake. Now, when I was writing this outline, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to try and guess the name of this next one first. Pluck Lake. I'm guessing Plucky. And then I went to find out what the creature of Pluck Lake is called. And the creature of Pluck Lake is named Morphodile, or the Pluck Ness Monster. Look. Pluck Ness Monster, the loch is named Ness. It's not like they're naming Nessie Ness because they just wanted to. That's what the name of the loch is. A Pluck Ness Monster? No. But Morphodile? Even more nope. Why was it named Morphodile? Well, it's very convoluted, and I don't really care that much, so I'm going to boil it down to this. In April of 2008, a crocodile was sighted in the waters of the lake, attracting some attention from the media and members of the Center for Fortean Zoology. And that's where the nickname Morphodile came from. It doesn't need more than that. So there's a guy named Kyle Chappell. He videoed the creature, and Dr. John Downs of the Center for Fortean Zoology said, and he believes, in his professional opinion, the creature was, quote, most probably a pike. So, Plucky, as I like to call it, may or not have been a crocodile, and since that's the one and only sighting of Morphodile, let's move on. We move on to the North Shore Monster, which, look, this name, that just sounds like a serial killer. So buckle up, murderinos, let's see what the North Shore Monster did. We go to Utah. In 1844, where a brother Bainbridge reported seeing a monster with a dolphin-like body in the lake near Antelope Island. Then, like 30 years later, J.H. McNeil and several other employees of the Barnes & Company Saltwork Company were on the lake's north shore when they saw a creature with a crocodile-like body and the head of a horse. So you know that these two people are probably fighting it off. Like, no, it's a dolphin-like body. No, it's a crocodile-like body. So the creature made a, quote, fearsome bellowing noise and charged the workers, who promptly ran up a nearby hillside and hid in the brush until morning. They were so terrified, they spent the entire night in the brush next to a lake where this creature with a crocodile-like body and the head of a horse just made a fearsome bellowing noise and ran towards them. Not the best plan. You keep running away from the lake. And just keep running. What the hell? That was your best plan? Like, let's go hide in that bush. Until when? I don't know, morning? Sure, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's do that. Now, some believe the, quote, monster was a bison, which is really bad description of a bison. I've seen a bison. I never would have said, oh, you know, a bison? Yeah, it's a creature with a crocodile-like body and the head of a horse. You've seen one. Sorry, I had a hiccup. I still do. Hold on a second. Yeah, that's the worst description of a bison ever. They also said, oh, it might not be a bison, but it might be a related cryptid, such as a Salt Lake whale. Don't worry, I'll get to that. Or even the great brine shrimp. So at this point in doing the outline, I was like, well, now I got to look up what a great brine shrimp is, because they better be fucking huge. So I looked it up. A brine shrimp? Yeah, it's like, what are those things called? A sea monkey. It's like a sea monkey. I mean, these better have been fucking huge sea monkeys to hide in a bush from it all night long. Do you guys remember sea monkeys? You'd spend like, I don't know, like $2 and a mail away for a sea monkey in the back of like a comic book or whatever. And they'd come in this little bubble plastic tiny fish tank. And then when they hatched, they looked like, you know, like little swimming fleas. And they died like 2 days later. You guys remember those? Or am I just showing how old I am? Look, I always wanted to pour that pouch of sea monkeys that you get before, you know, you're supposed to pour them in the water and then they hatch and then you look at them for 2 days and then they die and then you throw it out because it's dumb. I always wanted to pour that pouch into my mouth like Pop Rocks. But when I grew up, look, I grew up in a time where they said Mikey from the Life cereal commercial died from drinking a Coke and eating Pop Rocks. So I didn't want to risk like what would happen if I poured that in my mouth and then drank a Coke. Like, are sea monkeys going to burst out of my stomach or my chest like Alien? So I didn't want to risk it. Wow, you know what? I just dawned on me. The last minute and a half of this podcast means nothing to anyone under the age of 50. I'm sorry. Go look. Go Google. Hey, TikTokers, go Google sea monkeys. You'll see what I'm talking about. All righty. So let's get to that whale thing, that Salt Lake whale. When you might be thinking, hey, guess what? There's no such thing as a Salt Lake whale. Well, yes and no. They actually had a reason to think it might be a Salt Lake whale. That's because in 1875, entrepreneur James Wickham had two whales released into the Great Salt Lake. He wanted to use them as like a tourist attraction. Yeah, the whales are said to have disappeared into the lake, and they were sighted a bunch of times, multiple times, over like a couple of months. But there's never been any confirmed sightings of the whale since that time. Scientists nowadays say, you pretty much just killed those whales. They might have survived a little bit, but they could not have survived due to the high salinity of the lake. Just because something lives in salt water doesn't mean you can throw it in a salt lake and be like, that's the same. It's wet and it's got salt in it. But there are some people in the area that think maybe the whales did survive and maybe even had little monster baby whales. And that's what people are seeing in this lake. So at this point in doing the outline, I found a different site. When I was looking for more information about the whales, I found a different site that gave me some backstory for that great briny shrimp thing. So this is a rabbit hole that I didn't want to go down. Some people think there is a cryptid that's still alive called the Great Briny Shrimp. And it's a cryptid that's thought to live in the Great Salt Lake, and its nickname is Old Briny. Now, Old Briny is often described as resembling a insanely large version of brine shrimp, of sea monkeys, basically, ranging from the size of a large dog to that of a horse. Okay, now that's a sea monkey I want to see. Like, if I was told, like, if you do a good job and you take care of the sea monkeys, they'll grow to the size of a horse. Oh, my God. I would just be throwing those things in lakes left and right. You know, like people, like, they get rid of goldfish and they throw them in the lake and the goldfish gets all big and then eats a small duck. I would be doing that with brine shrimp constantly. There'd be old brinies in every lake in Michigan by right now. But the Great Brine Shrimp is depicted in a 1976 independent horror short film by Salt Lake local Mike Cassidy called The Great Brine Shrimp. It tells the fictional story in which a brine shrimp of exaggerated size terrorizes downtown Salt Lake area. That's a cool movie. I got to find that. That seems like that is just rife for like Joe Bob or MST3K. Anyhow, let's keep on going. There were a lot of sightings of this creature, though. There really were. This North Shore monster, I forgot what it was called. I had to look it back up. Okay, murderinos, we're back. This North Shore monster has been seen pretty much consistently since the 1800s, including up until the 1970s when a group of teenagers said they saw the monster while out swimming. But after that, the sightings are pretty sporadic. So, you know, did they solve who the North Shore monster is on My Favorite Murder? If so, I don't know. It's that guy that made the movie, Mike Cassidy. There you go. He's the North Shore monster. All righty. Let's keep in Utah, though. Let's move on to the creature of Utah's Bear Lake. That's right. The Bear Lake monster is described as being anywhere from 40 to 60 feet long. So that's big. With a body resembling that of a snake or lizard. That's scary. It's said to be capable of swimming at high speeds and has allegedly been responsible for the disappearance of livestock and even people. There we go. How far into this episode are we? Like, obviously over an hour by this point. Finally, we got a people-eating monster here. Okay, so it was first reported by the Native American tribes. They described it as being a giant serpent or dragon-like beast that would capture and carry away any and all that dared swim in the lake. Yeah, Kurt here, don't swim in that fucking lake. If you tell me, look, ever since the Native Americans, they've said that you go swimming in there, this giant snake or lizard's going to eat you. I'm going to be like, well, I'm not going to go swimming in there. I don't need to swim that badly. I'm fine. Then in the early 1860s, Mormon settlers began to see these creatures. That's right. The early Mormon settlers actually reported seeing the Bear Lake monster. There's one guy named S.M. Johnson or S&M Johnson. I don't want to kink shame him. S&M Johnson claimed to have seen something akin to, quote, a downed carcass floating in the water. It had cluster-like ears the size of teacups. Come on up, Rum. I'm talking about the Mormon S&M Johnson. Yeah, your favorite. Hi, Rum. I love you. He has cluster-like ears the size of teacups and spurt geysers of water from its nose. That's a terrible description. I can't even picture that in my mind. He believed that it must have been of enormous size because it didn't drift to the shore, so its legs must have been embedded in the muddy bottom of the lake. Now, most all of the sightings of this creature describe it as a dragon, basically, or some kind of like, no, it's pretty much a dragon. It's a dragon. Here's some from an article, from that article way back in the day talking about S&M Johnson. About 3 weeks ago, July of 1868, Mr. S.M. Johnson, who lives on the east side of the lake at a place called South Eden, about halfway north along the Utah side of the lake, was going to the Round Valley settlement, 6 miles to the south of his place, and when about halfway, he saw something in the lake, which at the time he thought to be a drowned person. The road being some distance from the water's edge, he rode to the bench. I'm assuming he meant beach. And the waves were running pretty high. He thought it would soon wash into the shore. In a few minutes or 2 or 3 feet of some kind of animal that he had never seen before were raised out of the water. Again, terrible descriptions, terrible writing. He did not ride to the bench. He probably rode to the beach. Newspaper from 1868. So yeah, this guy S.M. Johnson's riding to this other settlement, and he's like, "Whoa, someone drowned in the water! I gotta go take a look at that thing—a dead poke, a dead body." Because there's nothing to do in 1868. And then he said this thing just kept coming out of the water, rising about 2 or 3 feet out of the water, and he said it was just some kind of animal. Great description. Then the Deseret News ran a story in 1868 about Joseph Rich's account of these serpent-like monsters. Kurt here, yes, monsters plural, that locals had spotted in Bear Lake all at the same time. So by 1868, they're thinking, oh my God, now there's multiple monsters. Because of these reports, the Mormons wanted to capture it, so they had this amazing plan. They're like, all right, how do we capture these multiple monsters in Bear Lake? They go, I know. Let's send all the locals some rope to capture the monster. Now, look, I don't think they actually sent all the residents free rope And frankly, that seems like the worst way to catch an aquatic monster, but what do I know? But that was their plan. Now, the most recent reported sighting of this monster was in 2002. So that's fairly recent. Bear Lake is, you know, still kicking it out with the monsters. Now, when I got to this point, I found that I could easily stay in Utah for an entire episode. And I will, but that'll be a future episode. So sorry, Utahites? No, Utahians? Utahans? 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 Look, I don't know what you people are called. People from Utah, I'm sorry. We'll get to you in a future episode, but I wanted to keep on moving on. And I wanted to do something a little bit international, a little spicy. So next up is Nahualito. And for this one, we have to go to the Nahualhuapi Lake in Patagonia, Argentina. And if you're from Patagonia, Argentina, and you're mad at me for mispronouncing every word of that, A, I'm sorry, and B, send me some smokes. You'll find out why in a second. Look, as with all of the non-monsters on here, the first sightings were done by the local indigenous people. Kurt here, seems very odd, doesn't it? Like, when you talk about, like, Bigfoot around the world, all the different types of Bigfoot, you know, name it what you want, Orang, Pendek, Yowie, whatever you want to name it. They've all been talked about, not as legend, but as fact, as just accepted, like, yeah, there's this thing that lives here called Bigfoot by indigenous peoples. The indigenous people just go, yeah, there's this giant thing and it's in the lake and don't mess with it. How about you don't go in that lake? Oh, you're going in the lake? All right, well, you should be eaten then. From there, though, the first colonizers heard the stories from the native people. Basically, they just warned the colonizers to be wary of the lake and the large creatures living in it. Creatures, again, plural. I forgot how to pronounce this one already. Now, I do want to get this one right because they are very cool people. So how to pronounce this? Pronunciation. All righty. It is, come on, play, please.
Tahyelsh.
Tahyelsh. That's right. The
Tahyelsh.
I know. I just said it. The Tahyelsh. I said it already. The Tahyelsh. Okay, calm down. The Tahyelsh people who lived in Patagonia wilds forever, the indigenous people, the Tahyelsh from Patagonia, they shared stories of a huge creature spotted swimming beneath the surface of this lake. Now, they knew it as El Cuero, or basically it's giant stingray with a sucker-like mouth, and it used to eat victims. Boom, there we go. Two of the monsters. Parents warned their children to stay away from the lakeshore or else El Cuero might drag them beneath the waves as a snack. So again, two people eating monsters and counting. Then, in the 16th century, Portuguese sailors said they spotted Nahualito and other monsters. That's right. We're getting into multiple monsters here, and I don't mean just multiple Nahualitos. They spotted Nahualito and other monsters roaming among Patagonia's beach and cypress trees. What they wrote about were, quote, giant men named Patagao, or in Portuguese, Bigfoot. This place has everything. So it's got a giant monster that'll eat kids as a snack, and it also has Bigfoot on the shores. And I bet you any money, Bigfoot ain't going in the waters. They're smart enough. They're like, we told the Tahyelsh about these people that you just stay out of the water. Now, the next reported sighting happened in 1897 when Dr. Clemente O'Neilly, who was the director of the Buenos Aires Zoo, began to receive reports about a strange creature living in the lakes in the area. Then in 1910, George Garrett worked at a company located near the lake. After navigating the lake and he was about to disembark, he said he could see a creature about 440 yards away. That's how big this thing was. The visible part of which was between 5 and 7 meters, that's about 16 and 20 to 23 feet long, from 440 yards away. This thing was huge. And he said it protruded about 6.5 feet above the water. Now, he talked about his experience with the local people, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's Nahualito. Yeah, that's El Cuero. Yeah, it's just a big, giant thing. Don't go in there. Here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, yeah, he said he saw it in 1910, but he didn't talk about it until 1922. Yeah, but he was talking about it to the Toronto Globe, who sent someone there, including a bunch of other international press, because stories just kept coming out about this Najolito. And he was like, yeah, I saw it. I saw it back in 1910. Now, a lot of people think, why did you wait 12 years? Because he's living in Patagonia, people. This is the first international press to talk to him. So, of course, it's going to take a little while. Come on up, Rum. Hi, sweetheart. I'm almost done. Don't worry. I know. You're being very good. Yes, you are. You're being very good. Now, the next up is an American gold miner named Martin Sheffield. He settled in Patagonia in 1880 and was one of the first people to actually describe Najolito. In 1922, he wrote to Buenos Aires Zoo Director Clemente Onelli, that same guy, about, quote, a long-necked, swan-headed creature that dwelled in a lagoon near a nearby village, which is about 90 miles south of Bariloche. Now, this guy, Clemente, he organizes an expedition to this lake. And then he goes, while on the way to that lake, he starts talking to all the indigenous people, and they're like, yeah, it's also in this lake, it's also in this lake, it's also in this lake. And then he said, oh my God, this is something that is just known by all these people, not just the natives, but by all these people that are coming into the town, like this American gold miner and the Portuguese. And he's like, seems to be a lot of big species in all of these lakes. Now, he said he didn't spot the monster, but he didn't really have a ton of time either. Like he didn't have enough time, he said. And he said, I think I know what it is. It's a plesiosaur. Now, the reason, Kurt here, let's take a quick pause. That's cool. It's in the 1890s, or sorry, it's in 1922. In 1922, this guy's talking about plesiosaurs, so it must be a plesiosaur, right? Well, not really, because right around that time, plesiosaurs fossils were discovered. So it was a big thing. It was kind of like, you know, like if you were around when they unearthed King Tut, King Tut was everywhere. You knew what King Tut looked like. Well, in 1922, they knew what the fossils of a plesiosaur, and it spread across the world. Like, look at this cool new dinosaur. So people were like, oh, well, there you go. It's a plesiosaur. So it doesn't, there's a lot of people that say this is proof 100% that plesiosaurs survived. Now, I'm not saying they didn't. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it was also the hot button dinosaur of the time. It was like number one dinosaur with a bullet. So yeah, of course he's going to say, oh yeah, it's a plesiosaur. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of people that just say that this is 110% proof that there's a plesiosaur. But because of that, all of the newspapers that then began writing stories about Najolito all featured drawings of a giant plesiosaur. And people said, there you go, there's proof from 1922. Why would they know what a plesiosaur looked like in this newspaper article, so it must be real? Well, no, they did, because, again, it was like the hot-button dinosaur of the time. But back to me saying I wanted cigarettes from somebody who lived there. I don't think they still are around, but maybe you can find an old one. There was a local Bariloche cigarette factory that released Plesiosaurio packs. Plesiosaurio packs. That's right. There were packs of smokes with plesiosaurs on them. Now, I'm not going to smoke them. I just want to put them up behind me because that's freaking cool, man. I'm going to jump ahead from this point to 1960. That's when the Argentine Navy, who were in the area, obviously, they're in Patagonian lakes, was said to have chased an unidentified underwater object in the lake for 18 days. They said they were not able to identify it. All right. That's huge. There is something seriously big there if they could chase this fucking thing for 18 days. And it's not, again, it's not just like two local fishermen. This is the Argentine Navy. And they wrote about it in 1960 that they chased this thing in the lake for 18 days. Then, I'm going to wrap up this episode real quick here. This is going to be the end of it. In 1988, photos of Najolito were published in a magazine on the Rio Negro newspaper. These were taken at a short distance in which the object was near the coast of Bariloche. It is not a log of whimsical shapes, it said. It's not a wave. El Najolito showed his face. Now, this is a man who did not reveal his name, but it's a letter that he left with the photo. So he took some photos, random anonymous guy, took some photos, and those photos He said, clearly show the face of Nahalito. Now, I can't find it online, so I need to keep searching and finding it. But if I do, I'll throw it up on the Facebook fan page. Since then, there have been quite a few sightings, but nothing major. So with that, I think that about does it for this week's episode. But again, don't worry. There are a ton more lake Nahda monsters out there. I haven't even gotten to the sea Nahda monsters. So once again, I'm your host, Kurt Sandvig. This has been another edition of Paranormal Almanac. Sorry this one took a little bit longer. Life's been crazy. Thank you so much. You've been listening to another edition of Paranormal Almanac. I almost forgot to say that. Hey, you are. I'm LT Malcia, Miss Synopsidia.